All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Gary, what is more random than human desires?
Oh, they're actually pre-programmed by God.
Okay, Calvin.
We don't know what he programmed, so it's random to us.
Oh, true. Yes, yes. Day in a thousand years, in a day, etc. Yeah, so I figured we would tap in to the randomness of what people want. And so about 7 years ago, I started a Patreon for us. Okay. And then one of the rewards is somebody would buy the ability to demand an episode. I was going to pull open this the spreadsheet and see what they said.
Oh.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So drum roll, please. We have Mark, who says Peasant's Quest.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I hope it's the one that I played. Because there's two.
There are.
But I did one of them.
Yeah.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering 47. That is Cole Ross, podcast mogul and Providence operative. He's currently recording an episode of his comedy show nominally about bad video games. Perhaps the time has finally come for someone to end his alleged suffering. Good luck, 47.
Oh, man. Deep, deep cover. That's very good. Who was that?
Riley.
Ah, Riley, very good. Deep cover as a Providence agent, one of the puppet masters pulling the strings, living in a 1,000-square-foot, 3-bedroom house in a town in Ohio where nobody wants to live. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like that level. Baby. if you were gazebos and, well-maintained trellises, a lot more rusty garage doors. Sure. You know, chain link fences. now, son, a rusty garage door.
They're always doing rusty garage doors wherever Cole's at. Yeah. This one's automatic. I got it from the internet.
It's a remote control. Sorry, I phoned in the randomization there, but we had to hit the ground running. We're on a time limit, baby.
My fault. Yeah. I wanted to get coffee.
Discord's fault. You could have gotten coffee. Yeah. And then we had an extra delay because Discord decided to do its thing. You didn't have enough pylons is the thing. You needed additional ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Needed more pylons.
Yeah.
The version of this game I played was the Homestar Runner one.
Yes, that is that is the one. I messaged you about it, said, hey, here's Homestar Runner. Here is the program that you can use to play this. And also, if you would like, there is a porn game called Peasant's Quest if you want to mess around with it.
I forgot about that. I think that I might like the porn game more. This isn't me to bashing Homestar Runner. I had a hard time understanding where the parody was in this incredibly straight-laced version of King's Quest that the Homestar guys put in with no jokes. Like, this might just be me not getting Homestar, but like, is the joke that like the names of things?
Joke is names of things. There's weird stuff. Yeah, there's a
It sounds like there are no jokes.
Yeah.
I didn't get any jokes. I mean, I didn't play it for maybe didn't play it for long enough.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's also poking fun at it's poking fun at the genre. It's poking fun at like Videlectrics, the company that makes this, is known for making crappy games. So there are all kinds of like shortcuts and stuff built into it. It's a little bit straight as far as that goes. But yeah, this is very much like it hews closely to the original King's Quest. I was at King's Field, which would be weird.
It's more King's Field clones.
Yeah.
Not that there are tons of King's Quest clones. Those are singularly really bad adventure games.
including many of the later King's Quest games.
Yeah. Later ones and the old ones.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a thing that is that has come up a few times. There is a certain generational gap play with Homestar Homestar Runner appreciation between us.
I'm more of a World Star Runner.
We can all get behind World Star Runner.
Yeah, that's me. It's I don't necessarily do any Homestar running. I'm more of a,
I mean, I'm so programmed. If I see any kind of scuffle, I shout World Star.
Yeah,
just in case somebody's filming it.
And I don't know if it's racist. It feels like it might be, but I don't know.
I mean, I say it no matter who's who's fighting. It doesn't really matter.
No.
Yeah.
It's good to be fight blind. So I played this for a while. I wandered around. Mm-hmm. I got to the archer and I told him that his friend said Haldo instead of hello. So I was trying to figure out what's funny about that.
Yeah.
And then I went around and I picked some berries.
Okay. Crunch berries. Yes.
And then, and I talked to a big troll guy and I was like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not trying to convince anybody to feel differently about this web cartoon. This did make me pretty mad.
Oh, okay.
I did not understand where even there were attempts at humor in this for a comedy game. Like I just can't see it. It doesn't look like anything to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, it's,
you know, I know that it's common wisdom not to explain jokes, but that hasn't stopped us for the last decade.
Right.
Can you explain the joke to me?
No, honestly, I can't because it's like, it's about the tone. It's about the way of speaking. It's about the kinds of things that happen. It's really tough. There are jokes in Homestar. There are funny things that happen. It's just here. This is a bad game. I mean, not a bad game. This is the kind of game that like Strong Bad would play and like make jokes about. There would be things, you know, pulled from this that would be like comment or content in another thing. Right.
Okay.
So like, it's weird to say, but this is not like a primary joke text.
Yeah, it's like an Easter egg or a piece of merch.
Yeah, I think that's probably a little bit closer to it because like, you know, Trogdor and all of that, like this, you know, the idea that this is pulled from that, but also like at one point Strong Bad was the one who made up Trogdor when somebody asked him in an email to draw a dragon and then he wrote a song about it and then it became like a meme. You know, so like that kind of mixture. I mean, honestly, like I draw a comparison between Homestar and Akewood, actually, two things that are pretty divided.
Akewood is so much better.
Oh, Akewood is so much better, but it's
so much funnier. Like again, I can point to the jokes. I'm like, that's the joke.
It's a neighborhood and zip code kind of thing. There are people who do not like Akewood, who don't like get it. And I think that there is a certain, you know, the commonality is that like it actually is about like about the nature of the language. Right. I agree that Akewood is funnier than Homestar because it's, you know, it's meaner.
It just feels like this contained fewer jokes. Like it just feels like it's the language quirks.
Yeah.
You know, without it's like just rapping with no present underneath. Whereas like Akewood, it does have that way of speaking, but like in Akewood strips, I can point to like the joke.
Yeah.
Like this is the funny thing that is about this. Like it is funny how they're talking. This characterization is good.
Yeah.
Also, this, you know, cell phone accessory is very funny.
Yes.
Like just on its face.
I can't hear you. I'm three balling. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very funny. It's funny because of the language and it's funny because he's saying it like it's a thing. Like already.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's useless. Like, you know, you can figure it out. And I just, I don't have the cipher for this.
Yeah. This is a bad entry bad entry point into Homestar. What's that?
Is Haldo a running joke?
No. It's just literally like, oh, that would have been like a typo that was kept in.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they got two of the letters wrong, like the really important ones.
Yeah.
It's not even, and then it turned out to be his name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Tell him I said Haldo, which is a name. I just don't, I can't chart it. Like if I had a whiteboard.
No.
No, I can't figure it out.
I think that this is a bad entry point into Homestar.
Yeah. I've been exposed to Homestar. Mm-hmm. Like I was, you know, semi on the internet at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was still going strong during like the Rataskull years of Flash animation, which I remember seeing Rataskull. I'm not a Rataskull partisan. I'm not like hitting Rataskull.
What is Rataskull?
I thought you knew about Rataskull. It was another webcomic.
Okay. Like
web cartoon.
All right.
Yeah. It was about a skull. Oh, I mean, okay. I also can't explain that, but I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying that like I hung out in this stuff and I had friends who were very into Homestar. So I tried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it reminded me a lot of when my friends tried to get me into Dragon Ball Z, where I was like, I cannot see what the appealing thing is about this. Like even mm-hmm. remotely.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's really hard. It is hard to describe, why I can still go back and watch those and feel entertained. There's a certain sound to it. There's a certain cleverness. The characters are funny to me. And mm-hmm. you know, to lots of folks. I really think it's an ear thing, you know?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And if I had come at it at a different, like if I had been a little bit younger, it may also be generational.
Yeah.
So that also makes tons of sense. Mm-hmm. It is interesting that there are things that like things that you like and dislike. There's like another axis of like, you know, ephemeral versus concrete.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like you have like concrete likes, which are things that you like and you can explain exactly what's good about them. Mm-hmm. And then you have ephemeral likes, you know,
yeah.
And then there are things I dislike, but I understand how somebody could like them. Mm-hmm. Like I get what would be good about this.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. And it's hard to say, you know, and I kind of file a bunch of those into, you know, the ephemeral likes into, just give it to me. Like this is just mine. I can just have this.
Yeah. But nobody's trying to take it from you.
Yeah.
Just to clarify. Mm-hmm. I also was playing this game for the show.
Yes.
Like I didn't like hunt down this thing.
Yeah.
You know, just listen, Ross, it's time for you to reckon.
It's a courtroom scene. Now, Mr. Ross.
I'm gonna nail my 95 theses of Homestar Runner onto your door.
Now this Philip Pompom, he has he's humanoid shaped. However, when he speaks, it's mostly a bubbling sound. Now, tell me why this might be.
What would a dragon need arms like this for?
Well, he only has one arm, sir. It is a human arm. It's funny. He has a little anchor tattoo on it.
I thought he had a second arm that's implied behind the first arm because he's 2D.
I've never seen him turn around. It just in the canonical Trogdor image, there is only one arm that is visible. It's a human arm that sticks out, kind of between the consummate V's.
Yeah, I know what Trogdor looks like.
Okay, all right.
I've been online.
The way you're talking, again, kind of sense of somebody who knew what Trogdor looked like would really love Homestar Runner.
You know, it somehow isn't enough to imagine a dragon with an arm. to carry me on, you know, 75 entries of this webcomic for cartoon. Like it does a little work, it just doesn't do that much work.
I think that it is weird that Trogdor took off as the memes. I am much more fond of Fahokwakats. Yes,
I think it's probably the song.
Yeah, the song showing up definitely in Guitar Hero also helped.
Yeah,
but the Fahokwakats had a much better song than Trogdor did.
I wonder if it was too complicated.
I don't know.
Like, Trogdor is very simpler.
It is very simple. Yeah, pretty straightforward metal thing.
No. The other thing I did was scare. So I got to the archer because I scared the horse.
Okay.
And again, like I was like, so when you pick up the mask, it's like, this mask is so scary, it could scare a horse.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, okay. It's telling me, you know, that's not an expression, but I understand, like I had to go scare a horse. And then I went and scared the horse and it had like, again, it had the beats of like a joke thing, mm-hmm. but I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If anybody has this explanation, by no means should you tell me. I'm going to die in ignorance of this.
Just like I can just have it. Gary needs to be able to live an existence where people are not constantly trying to make him like a thing that has an ephemeral likeness to it. Let's say,
yeah,
you know,
not this specific thing.
Yeah,
other ephemeral lightnesses I can handle.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, it's a recipe for frustration. I think if people decided to make it their, mission to turn you around on Homestar Runner, I think that's a bad use of energy.
Yeah. It's hard to turn people around on things.
Yeah.
Tends to be misguided.
At most, what you would get to is like, oh, okay, like I understand why somebody else would like this, but I still, you know, don't, you know, like, yeah. I can't intellectualize my way into appreciating this, and all of a sudden it's unlocked. You know, the first time I watched, Tim and Eric's Awesome Show, even though I liked Tom Goes to the Mayor, I fucking hated Tim and Eric's Awesome Show. It was like years later until I saw like one sketch that just unlocked it for me. And then boom, there you go. You know, but that was not somebody like sending me a think piece about anti-comedy and, you know, like what specific things it was like aping off of. Like, you know, you can say the joke of Strong Bad is rude, you know, and that's about it. You're not gonna do it.
Yeah, he's rude.
Yeah,
he didn't seem like a nice guy.
No.
He surrounds himself with a lot of invalids who seem like they need help to live that he does not provide. No. It's like a mean version of Bear Tato. You know,
yeah, that's a meaner Bear Tato or Nedroid. Yeah, that makes us that makes sense to me.
Yeah, like just get, you gotta help, or Akewood, like you said, like Akewood, mm-hmm. you know, the characters in that take care of their little invalid friends, you know.
Yeah,
you got your Fleeps who couldn't live in this world.
Yeah, you got your like you got your roast beefs with strange cares. Yeah,
yeah, they would not live, mm-hmm. but then they somehow all take care of each other.
Yeah,
you know. It's somewhere between that and then like Mog and Meg or whatever, where they like fuck and suck each other's dicks in each other's asses, where it's like they take care of each other in a highly erotic sense when they're high and like eating out dog ass and stuff constantly.
Yep.
So
yeah. Also, Meg, Mog, and Al, something that I like that I never would try to make you enjoy.
But I get. Yeah. I understand. I get that. It just isn't super funny to me, but I understand how it could be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah. So it's firmly in that lower left corner for me of that axis.
Did you try the porn game?
I didn't try the porn game. I wasn't really under the gun because we're starting late and everything today, but I just lost track of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Very rare that I do that, but I really value those moments. Like I'm not constantly aware of the ticking clock.
Oh yeah, no. You want to be able to look away.
Yeah.
No, the porn game, it has a real RPG Maker asset pack that you bought kind of look to it. The idea is mm-hmm. that you're this peasant who rolled into a town. It's like a fantasy kind of thing. I'm not sure what the goal is. I think you need to buy a house, but of course everything is like sexual. There's a guy who says like, ah, yes, my medicinal herbs didn't come in. You know, they were the elf kingdom was sending them over. You know, sometimes, you know, you understand when you get older, you have trouble getting it up. So like one of the quests you have to do is go get the Viagra. I put it away because I got grossed out because I got to one of the first sexual scenes. Okay. I walked up to a stable and I was like, okay, there's going to be a stable hand here or whatever, you know, horse girl. And I walked in and it like immediately like flashed to the, you know, pre-rendered 3D models of like really bad poser porn or whatever. They were fully clothed and she was like, oh, you know, and she hates men. You can't trust him, et cetera, et cetera. But the mayor's on the way. He wants to inspect his prize thoroughbred horse. Can you go out and scoop up the dung? You know, to make it nice for the mayor when he comes. I was like, okay, here's waiting a little quest. Yeah, no. Okay.
Like dung scooping porn.
Yeah. So, I went outside and I pressed enter as my guy was standing over all the little piles. And then my character heard something and there was a little flash on the window. I went and looked in, and there was a 3D poser image of the stable girl sucking the horse's dick. And then my character was like, whoa, and fell. And then you walked in and she was like, you were spying on me, weren't you? And she said, you know, oh, my family doesn't have anything, but this is a thoroughbred horse and people will buy his cum for a lot of money.
Why didn't we do that game? fucking gross. That's horrible.
It's
a smuggle it like away in her belly, like I smuggle milk duds in the movie.
Yeah, maybe.
I smuggled in a dinner into this movie. I'm gonna digest it while the screen's going.
Oh God! And you have like a bunch of options. It's like, oh, I swear I won't tell, or oh, I would like to buy the horse, come please, or it's like, or it's demand sex. And I was like, no, and I turned it off.
Yeah, like section.
I saw a very detailed 3D render of a girl sucking a horse's cock. That's as not you something
do in order to get that precious gold.
Yeah, yo, white tea.
My words, I can't handle this horse story. This precious gold.
just
kiss a murmur. That's real weird.
Yeah. Vile, I would say, actually.
Yeah. Don't suck off horses.
No. Not even if you're Tom Green and it's for a movie.
Yeah. Especially if it's Tom Green and it's for a movie. If you're unpaid, that's horsetitution.
Horsetitution.
The horse in this you can't suck off either. And if you try, they'll kick you in the face.
Yeah.
in this game.
Yeah, so I stopped it. It was made by it's a person on Patreon who's making some pretty good money, making these porn games.
It's depressing.
Got about 2,000 people, and they're making about $4,000. So they're making $3,800 a month. Good for them, I guess.
Yeah, it's that's pretty small potatoes as far as porn.
Yes,
Patreons, like you and I can work. Like 50, 60 hours a week and, you know, like spend all day giving ourselves stomach ulcers because somebody in the Slack said something mean. And then somebody goes on there and I was like, what if I show a JPEG that I Googled a woman sucking off a horse? And just tons of patrons like, give me. Oh man, what's that horse going to do once it gets off? And they just make so much money thinking about this woman smuggling horse cum in her belly.
Yeah.
You get pregnant. Like John.
She's going to have mouth ponies.
Yeah, she's going to have mouth ponies. Is that pony and puppy?
No, I just said mouth ponies. I'm slurring my words too. I just said everything is just twisted around, Gary.
We didn't say at the front of the episode, but we both got rip-roaring drunk before this one. We drink now before we
record. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that whiskey had alcohol in it.
Yeah, I just like it for its flavor and its color.
Mm.
Its notes.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Woody.
Yeah, woody. Tannins. this is a King's Quest alike.
Yes.
Which means you move around with the keyboard and then you have a text parser, which is how adventure games worked before LucasArts fixed them.
Yeah. And also before mice were considered to be like essential computing equipment.
Mm-hmm. What's the furthest you've ever gotten in a King's Quest game?
Oh, God. Honestly, not very.
Really rough.
Yeah. Honestly, the furthest I've gotten in a King's Quest game was when I was spending a long weekend over at my dad's and I was real bored because the weather was bad and it was mostly outdoor activities over there. They had they had an old computer for my cousin. Just I have no idea why I was there, but it had Mixed Up Mother Goose on it. And I was like,
okay.
I was like 10. So like way too old for Mixed Up Mother Goose, but it was a video game and I liked adventure games. So I just beat all of Mixed Up Mother Goose, which is just a reskin of King's Quest 1.
Yeah. I have also beat that one back in the day when I just had a computer and I played most of the second one as a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've tried to go back. Like they put out the collection at one point on GOG.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I like old video games and old adventure games. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then install them. I'm like, I fucking hate this.
Yeah.
There's nothing I like about this.
No, it's it's one of those things where genre will really go a long way. King's Quest is rough in a way that is hard to surmount. Whereas Space Quest is something I'm like down for. Like I've done more of those.
Early Space Quest, I think, are rough as well.
Yeah,
like they eventually get good.
Mm-hmm.
but like Space Quest 1 is still pretty rough.
Yeah, I've never gone too far into Space Quest 1. Like there was a time when they were releasing a bunch of collections of those, and I got a bunch of them, I mean, like physical copies, like King's Quest and then Leisure Suit Larry, Space Quest. They were just released as PC boxed things, and I got all of those. And I, you know, it was like, oh, I'm going through and I'm beating every LucasArts game because I just found ScumVM. Here's a legal way for me to get these other adventure games, and just dabbled into each of them before I got frustrated or like read, read a solution. I was like, oh, I don't feel like doing that. And then hung it up.
Yeah. That's always the worst when you're playing an adventure game and it tells you exactly what to do and you don't even want to like press the buttons.
Right.
To get there, it's like, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not because I didn't figure it out. It's because, man, that sounds tedious.
Yeah. And that's one of the nice things about existing in the future is that all of these things that happened in the past that were not ideal, you can just read about them in a reference book. I will let Kurt Kalata either himself write or curate small articles about all of these series and then just read them in the Hardcore Gaming 101 graphic adventure book, one of my prized possessions.
Yeah. One of the things I love about that is he admits that, you know, something like fully 2/3 of all adventure games are trash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a thing that is a bummer about the CRPG and JRPG books, which I also love. But they're a little like enthusiast.
Yes.
At points.
Yeah.
Whereas that adventure game book is just like, yeah, these don't hold up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is really tough stuff. There's some German guy doing a remake with quality of life features, but it'll barely be worth it. And it was stuck updating in like 2008 with a 6-man team.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's fine. Like, yes, these are colloquially called reference books, but you know, I like Jeremy Parrish's, that Virtual Boy Works book is really good. Not just because it's teaching me about a bunch of stuff I didn't know. It's not only good because he does an amazing job visually with it, getting all the original materials and stuff, but they're written with an editorial voice. Like, you know, he is somebody who is both knowledgeable and has like a pretty good opinion about stuff that I want to read.
It's like an interesting way that like writing about games has 100% changed. This isn't an original point. Like other people have made this point for sure. But, you know, just the idea of like, I want to read somebody's opinion about something rather than just a bunch of commercials.
Yes.
You know, Nintendo Power style.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was fine for when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But now I much prefer an authorial voice. Like if someone is going to tell me, you know, that King's Quest 2 like totally stands up, that is a disqualifying statement.
Yeah.
You know, and if I believe them, I would do it. And then I'd be like, fuck, man. Like, you know,
No, it's because here's the thing. We all have limited background on certain things. And it is nice to be able to borrow somebody else's discernment. You know,
No, I think so, too.
Yeah,
I think so, too. There is a kind of intense wild mass guessing section.
Oh, God.
On Peasant's Quest. That's several paragraphs long. That's about some kind of deep theory here. It's not about it being in the Doctor Who universe.
Okay. That's usually the go-to. I've got a Chrome extension that filters all those out. Oh, no, I don't. I wish I did.
Yeah. No, it's just about the hidden bonfireside chatting of the plot of this.
The knight provides an oddly specific set of requirements. So basically the authorities in the Kingdom of Peasantry know that Trogdor is indestructible.
Something like that. Yeah, it's a conspiracy.
Yes. Yeah. No. This is too much thought for something that doesn't necessarily matter. I think that what they are noticing is it is artificial the way you get a quest. So I do not think that what they are finding is data that would not fall within the range of things that I would write about.
I'm wrapped around the funny section of this trying to figure it out.
Gary, you can't Batman your way. Like you can't turn on detective vision and see the jokes, dude.
But if I can see the skeleton,
okay.
Batman can see the skeleton the joke, sir.
Of the joke man. Yeah.
Yeah.
The crime joke
telling Harlequin of clown crime.
Yeah, the crown prince of climb. Yes.
Yeah, climate change. Batman.
This Smilex gas is just
property value is going down as the coast rises. Waterfront property, Batman.
You better be calling up Aquaman, Batman.
Batman, your super friend who will save you, Batman, yes. When the greenhouse gases fry your precious little robin's egg. The conference of climate change, God, it's so, why is it hard to say?
Because of so much whiskey, all of the whiskey.
So much whiskey in my coffee. I said I was going to get coffee, but I was really going to get whiskey.
Yeah. They rhyme, so they're basically the same thing, according to people who speak Cockney.
Yeah, exactly. Like me. With my Baroque thieves cant.
Yeah. Something I'm really happy about. So this was a patron demand from Mark. I was a little bit bummed. I was like, I really want to do what Mark says, what Mark wants. Sorry, this is a Peasant's Quest, Homestar Runner, not the porn game that I accidentally found. Mark said, you know, got around the fact that Flash is obsolete by pointing out this project called Flashpoint, which is not only like a Flash emulator, and like an emulator for all kinds of like outmoded plugins, but just a directory where you can click and download any of them. Basically, any Flash game that was ever part of a directory, you can just download and play.
It's pretty cool.
It's we've talked so much about how much it sucks that just all this content is going away. I had no idea that this existed because I had no idea of how to search for it. Gary, there are so many advert games for pet food.
Yeah. Well, it's got us going for Abject Suffering for a while.
Yes. Gary, there are so many pregnant princess dentistry games.
Yes. Yes. We're going to figure out what kind of cat food the pregnant princess likes. In future Abject Sufferings. I got my next vanity pick picked out, but after that, I'm going to dine on some advert games.
Mm-hmm.
We're about up on time. Apologies for the whiskey, Mark. I'm sorry if it was sad to you to hear that I did not get this, but I'm not trying to take it away from you. Mm-hmm. Or you, Cole.
Yeah, yeah. Mark, don't worry. I will be over here at the lower light switch that is just for the cheat and not for light switch raves. I got you, bud.
Yeah, the cheat is very short.
He's basically a cat.
What it is to chuckle. I can understand the comedy of a short man. Like, what if somebody was short? Like, what's not to like? If you like the show, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some money and leave ratings and reviews on Apple Podcast or Podcast Addict.
Yeah. And tell your friends about the show and check out all the additional content you would get on patreon.com/duckfeedtv. I think that's just about everything. And until next time, everybody, to the limit.